Well, we were just about to have a conversation before you joined us about Chris Versteeg, who called it a career after 11 seasons yesterday. He was part of Stanley Cup winners with you guys in Chicago before we start talking about the Florida Panthers. I just want to get your thoughts on Chris Versteeg and what he meant to that Hawks team.
Well, Steger was a, when we first got him there right off the bat, he was one of those players that had some versatility in his game, was a defenseman when he was a junior, and we had him playing up front. And he got off to an amazing start, got a lot of skill, real competitive, sneaky, tough, one of those guys you really liked and appreciated having on your team. But really did have a high level of skill, loved to handle a puck. A little bit of a troublemaker at the right times, but did the right things in the most competitive type of situation. So we got a lot out of Steger, used him a lot of different ways in a lot of different places, but underrated in his skill and brought a little edge to his game, which was I think was kind of our group of team, the whole group that we had there in Chicago. We were probably thought everybody that we had just all skill. But guys like Steger and go up and down our lineup, they're real competitive guys, and the hard part of the game didn't bother them at all.
So I remember, Joel, having a conversation with Glenn Healy when he was working between the benches for Hockey Night. And I said, what's the worst that you ever heard from one bench to the next? Like, was there one game? Was there one series? One combination of teams? And he said, without a doubt, Joel, 2010 Stanley Cup Final, Chicago Blackhawks and Philadelphia Flyers. He had to keep, every single game, had to keep his finger on the mute button because it was so salty. How much would Chris Versteeg have been in the middle of that, Joel?
He was probably as good as it was in the game. Or, he did. He always had to get the last lick in. Steger is one of those guys, that witty goon talk. But he always had to have the last one. Even if he thought, think that he lost the battle in the witty goon talk, he'd always have to have the last one. But he was one of those guys that had opinions, you didn't mind that about Steger because he'd back him up, and he stood by what he meant. And he had that kind of personality that when you look around at the guys you coached, he was always one of the guys well liked in the locker room, and always be a part of the trouble or the fun. And he had good nature about him, and guys really enjoyed him as a teammate.
I'm hogging the microphone. Brian Burke, over to you.
Hey, Queenie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Berkey. How you doing?
Good, thanks. We've asked all the coaches, so you'd be the 28th coach we've had on now. We're almost through the roll. We've asked them all to trace their path for us. So you started your coaching career as a playing assistant, which seems like unheard of. It seems like something from the 40s, but actually was quite common back then. Tell us how you got into coaching.
Well, I was back in the day, my last year in the off season, I was when I was playing in Hartford, I was doing some brokerage business, and I was doing that in the off season, knowing that my career was coming to an end or very close to it. And Mark Crawford, the new franchise in Newfoundland, and went to St. John's with Crow. And I, that last year, I was a player assistant coach. And, I was thinking, boy, I'd love to continue on and stay in the hockey world as opposed to getting into the business side of the world. And that year we had an amazing team. It was a fun opportunity. Crow treated me like a coach, and I tried to find that balance as a player and a coach. And we had a good relationship, Crow and I, and we had a tremendous team. And the last game I remember is that we lost all four home games that year, and it was the last game I ever played there at St. John's with a lead in the third period. So that game really sticks out in my mind. And then the next year. We had that lockout season in Newfoundland, kind of a hectic year. And then the year after that, I got my first head coaching job hired by Brian Burke and in Springfield with Hartford's farm team. The following year, and that's when Berkey went and worked for the league. I didn't have the pleasure of working with Berkey for a whole year, but he was the first one that got me rolling as a head coach. Then went to Quebec as an assistant coach in that lockout season. And the following year, we went to Colorado with Crow and got back with him in Quebec as well. And we had an amazing team. We had an amazing run. And 96, we won the cup, and against you know, Detroit had the monster team that year. We got through them, and then the following year we got hired in St. Louis, and then we were there for 8 years. Had a lot of success. Didn't quite get the job done. That was a tough part about that situation. 4 years in Colorado, mostly with Pierre and Francois, and then. And then Chicago was an amazing run, all positive, great situation, amazing teams, changed on the fly with the teams, great people to work with. The players are tremendous, some of the best players you'd ever want to be around as a coach. And now we're in Florida having some fun. And, you know, I think we had a couple really good runs this year, and had a really, really bad run after the All-Star break there, and put ourselves back in the spot there where we wanted to find out this year what it was going to be like to be a playoff team. We feel that as a team and as an organization, we got to take that next step, and we put ourselves in that spot. We're right in the middle of it right now, and we're hoping that we can get back playing and find out more about our team, because we feel we've got some really good pieces here, and winning in the playoffs or making the playoffs is going to be a big step forward for us.
Stewie, go ahead. You're on with Joel Quenneville.
But Berkey, you got it all started, though. Come on. You got it all started, and, you know.
So
but how many years ago? That's a long time ago. I remember you interviewing me there at the Civic Center upstairs there, and it seemed like a couple days ago. But how long ago was that? That was a long time.
Yeah, it was summer of 93. It's a long time ago.
There you go. Yeah.
Stewie, go ahead.
Joel, we had you on earlier this year, and you mentioned, I asked you if you were going to have Mike Kitchen be your assistant coach, and you sort of were a little bit mum on mentioning that he was going to be on your coaching staff. So how important is it to have a coach like Mike Kitchen, who, you know, I remember as a player, you know, I'd be doing a bag skate, and I wouldn't be able to complain because he was doing it with me. How important is it to have a right-hand man that's so invested in his job and being an assistant coach in the National Hockey League?
Well, you know firsthand, Anthony. Probably Kitchen's probably one of the best guys in the league as far as doing that job and doing it along with the players as well. And he gets a thrill out of doing it. And you know, you don't want to get hurt too long, and you don't want to be in that situation where you have so many of those skates they can be wearing on you. But he pushes you in the right fashion. And we've had a lot of years together. You know, we going back when I was in St. John's, he was in Toronto, and we played together back in Colorado, and we worked together in St. Louis, and we got back together again in Chicago, and now in Florida. Kitch is you know, is one of those special guys in the game. Tremendous person, very passionate about what he does, and you know, he tries to get the most out of every guy, and he tries to make them better and make them compete at the level we all want to be pushed at in the right way. And I like Kitch. We know each other very well. We all have our strengths together. We all push each other and know how we can help one another as well. And I think he knows the way we do business and what it takes to win.
When you got to Florida, Joel, and we're talking to Joel Quenneville, head coach of the Panthers, when you got to Florida, which of the players on your team surprised you the most after coaching in the Western Conference for as long as you did and had all the success that you had? Were there a couple of guys on Florida Eastern Conference team that you said to yourself, this guy's better than I thought he was?
Well, I thought right off the bat, I thought Aaron Ekblad had a tremendous start to our season. I thought he really, really was really solid for us. I thought not just offensively, but I thought defending, he was did a really good job for us. Mackenzie Weegar had kind of one of those guys, like, you know, everybody thought he might have been a sixth defenseman, or he, you know, could he make the team? And you know, we put him over on the left side, on his offside. Not too many right D or adapt at playing the left, and I thought he did a tremendous job. And you know, he had some injury issues there that might have slowed him down a little bit, but I thought he came on and really, really helped their back end and really gave us some offensive looks. And you know, he did some little bite to his game as well. So he really came on and came kind of out of nowhere. Mark Pisick was a guy that we didn't know what we're going to do with him. I thought he was one of those going to be a, you know, seventh defenseman, six, seven, eight, and all of a sudden we put him up front. And every game he just seemed to be taking way more ice time from everybody, and you felt comfortable with him, and brought an element of speed and that defending look. And I thought he made giant strides this year too, from a standpoint that we turned a defenseman that was kind of like looking to get more ice time to a guy that up front that you really had a lot of confidence in.
Berkey?
Quinny, there's a couple guys that people know of them because they're pretty special players, but we don't see a lot of your team on TV up here. Tell us about Huberto and Barkov.
Well, I thought both guys got off to pretty good starts this year. I thought their high-level skill, our power play last year was outstanding, and this year got off to an amazing start, and, it has to go through those guys. And I thought every single guy on our power play, that one unit, they all bring a little bit something to it, and they're all very good at what they do on the power play. I thought Ubi had an amazing start to the season. His playmaking ability, his play selection, patience with the puck, very, very high end, as good as the top guys in the league. And that patience is I think the one thing with Ubi, we want to make sure that defending, and I thought he had some stretches when we play without the puck in our own end. That's got to be an area where we have to get better as a team, and he's part of that group. And Barkey had some stretches this year where we had he had some solid games. I think this year was one of those years where coming off with such a special year the year prior that, I don't know if he reached those goals this year, but I still think that high-end talent, high-end ability, can use him in all situations. Love his size, had a couple of issues health-wise this year, but I think I think Barkey's got, he's that player that can control a game, can dominate a game, and I think you can, you really appreciate the kind of person that he is, and, he's one of those freaks as far as training and preparing, and he'll do everything he can to get the best out of him as well.
Stewie, go ahead.
Do you think Aaron Ekblad gets enough accolades for his play?
Well, Eck has a, he started off, I think, he come off that big year there a few years ago. And then I think defensively is something that you watch with Eck. And I thought that, there's a lot of ability in that side of his game. I think we see the offensive side of things and how he can handle the puck and some of the plays he makes, his shot, his movement on a point in the offensive zone. I like the way he's improved defensively. And I think that's what's basically can really help our team. Whether it's his gap in the out through the neutral zone, contesting pucks on the entries, and first the pucks in our zone, and more physicality, I think he progressed in that area as we've gotten to this pause area now. But I think when he uses his physicalness and his strength and his toughness and his size defending, I think we're a better team in that area, and not just him. And I think that's the one area where we've probably had a tougher go than we'd hoped for from the start. And I think we improve in that area. I think we can be a better team, and he can be part of that. But overall, though, I think he's made improvements in that area in his game.
Being joined by Joel Quenneville, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. And Joel, this is primarily a Toronto-based radio show. You were part of one of the more significant events in Toronto Maple Leafs hockey. This was the era where Punch Imlach was dismantling the Maple Leafs. You were a first-round pick of Toronto. Big defenseman coming in from the Windsor Spitfires, and you end up as part of the Lanny McDonald trade with Wolf Paymont and Pat Hickey going the other way, as Imlach was going right through the team, but couldn't move Daryl Sittler. You were young at that point, but what do you recall from that era of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I felt fortunate to be around some of the greatest players that ever played the game, and great leaders as well with Sit and Lanny and Boria. Palmy was a teammate, Pat Putet from Windsor. Guys that were, guys you always looked up to and idolized, and now you get to be a part of that team. And I learned a lot, and I was fortunate to, Lanny was a special guy, teammate, friend throughout the years, and I think that he took me under his wing when I first even got to Toronto. But when we did get traded together, I spent a lot of time with Lanny, and we lived together for a while. And he babysat me. He says I took so many years off his life. I don't know what or his hockey career, I should say. But other than that, we enjoyed one another. But a lot of ways that you never had a better friend than Lanny. I remember when we traded that day. Don Cherry picked us up at the airport at probably around noon. The game was it might have been a 7 o'clock game, and we're playing Philly that night. Philly was, I think, in the middle of that 35 game streak, or 33 or 4. I think this might have been 33 or 34 for them. Mm-hmm. And we ended up in a tie ball game with them, and it was a start to the rookie hockey business. But our Toronto years were special. Roger was a special coach for us. The pleasure of coaching with Roger. I first got to St. Louis. He taught me a lot, and as a player as well, and as a coach, those are some of the things I do remember from Toronto. And it was fun being a part of that team, and I was looking forward to being around there for a while. But things changed. That's the first time I'd ever been traded in my life, so it was a different experience for sure.
Berkey, last one to you.
Oh, your boss is obviously well known as a great judge of talent, but he might be the funniest guy in hockey, too. Tell us about working for Dale Tallon.
Well, Dale's got that witty, dry, we could call it even sarcastic, but he constantly is nothing. It's always a one-liner. So it's it's whether you laugh out loud and when you can't in that type of environment, or you just you laugh about it in a different setting and you can enjoy it in that way. But Dale's fun to be around in a lot of ways, but the seriousness, and not too often you get that tone, but when you do get it, you got a lot of respect where it's coming from, and how important it is to him to do it things the right way. But I would say the other side of him is around a lot, and I enjoy that part of it, because I think in our business there's it's pretty intense, and some situations can be a little bit more intense than necessary. And Dale for sure has a way of bringing a lot of levity to it. And we can always smile about some of the stuff he does or says. But he has the best ones for sure. And we can't really even talk about how good they are here now.
Is he the best hockey golfer you've ever seen? And if not, who's better?
Of the guys I've seen, he's got to be as good as there is. Yeah, Dale for sure. Because he's so smooth, and but he's certainly got a lot of game left in him, because he hasn't played in so long here, and he hasn't played at all this year, and now he can't play. So it's, I'm sure you're going to see the best of Dale coming forward too, with how long he's been away from the game, which I'm sure is going to be hard to do. But he's, if he's not the best, he's the purest looking golfer I've ever seen.